Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people.
Right.
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one. Quarter pounder
with cheese in France, Mickey? What? Boy, ale with cheese. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly sacrifice up my progeny to you, almighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey everyone, you're listening to a special bonus episode of Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And I'm Max. Oh, John, I'm sorry, damn it, take 85. No, sir. Wait. Continue on. Yeah. Hi, guys. How are you doing? We have so much material from the New York Comic Con 2019 that we just have to release some of it during the coming weeks as special episodes, because a lot of it's time sensitive and some people have already threatened us. So,
let's not start rumors. We actually got to talk with Dave Anderson. I'm sorry, David Baxter and Jeff Anderson.
Jeff Edison, co-founder and president of Legion M, and Dave Baxter, VP of development.
Yes. It's late. We're recording this after recording a full episode, so bear with us.
I can't feel my tongue anymore.
Yes. We got to talk to these guys about their company, Legion M. If you haven't heard about them, they are a way to describe them is crowdsourcing on steroids. They are a fan-based company where the fans decide where the money goes for what projects they want to see made. It's you invest in them, so you get money back. It's not a, you pay them and then there's just a product that comes out. Like, if they're successful, you're successful and you're having a hand in what's being made. And they were nice enough to talk to us, and we ended up talking to them for like almost 45 minutes, so we knew this had to be an episode to itself.
Yep.
And
they're involved in a lot of upcoming projects that are going to be kind of big, like the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yes.
Apparently.
This is not
just one of those rinky-dink things that, companies that we see every once in a while come through the Comic-Cons. This is the real deal.
They also have a documentary coming out about the making of Alien called
Memory, the Origins of Alien.
Cool. So yeah, like that, and that's an interesting story that they'll talk about in the interview. Basically, they went to Cannes. They interviewed all of the people involved with Legion M, all of the investors, and said, what movies would you like us to look at? And they narrowed it down to a handful of movies. And out of the ones they saw, they liked this one the best. So they invested in it to do the North American distribution of the movie. So, like, that's really cool, and I'm sure the people listening to this podcast are fans of the Alien movies. Let's not sugarcoat this anymore, because again, this is a long interview. So here we go with Jeff Anderson and David Baxter.
Us, but thank you, because
yourself.
We feel I feel honored.
I'm like cosplayed out, dude. I'm doing New York Comic Con right. I don't know about you.
You look relaxed. That's not New York Comic Con.
3 inches. I can get all Jim Hoppered up.
Oh God. Yeah, just come
up here. Dude.
That's now I get it. All right.
Yeah.
3 inches
coming through. Yeah. Either that, or if I hire a boot squad, because just the human traffic getting
I actually
here.
Have played Pheasant.
Really?
For screening. Well, here's a story. Quick story. In college, I went to school at Haverford College.
Yes.
Outside of Philadelphia.
Mr. Professional.
I actually, this was back in
in the early 80s. The drama club at my college got approached William Goldman, who wrote The Princess Bride, and we asked if we could get the rights to put it on as a play. And this was before the movie was ever made. And he gave us the rights, and we performed it, and I, being 6'8",
there you go.
I was typecast, and I was Fezzik. So
I think you would make a great Fezzik.
I was a great Fezzik, I must say.
All right, so for those listening, that's David Baxter from Legion M.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good. And we're also here with Jeff...
Aniston.
Aniston.
Our fearless president.
And Dave's assistant.
Yes, exactly.
Bag holder.
So you guys have been around for a couple years, but I'm not sure everyone's familiar with the company and what you guys do. How do you explain Legion M to new people who don't know what it is?
Well, we are the world's first fan-owned entertainment company. And what that means is we're a brand new company. We've been around for a little bit over three years now.
Right.
We're taking advantage of brand new securities laws that have also been around for just a couple of years, that for the first time allow fans to invest in startup companies. And we created a startup company that was designed from day one and has been built from the ground up to be owned by fans rather than corporate investors. And the whole idea behind it is simple. It's like if we could unite, if everybody at this Comic-Con pulled their money to create an entertainment company of our own, we have huge competitive advantages over other entertainment companies.
Right.
When our movie comes out, we know there's going to be a legion of people that are going to come out and see it opening night. They're going to bring their friends and family. They're going to talk about it on social media because it's their movie. They've been involved since day one. They have a financial stake in it. It's literally theirs.
And an emotional stake. I mean, that's kind of the advantage of having investors who are also fans. And just so you guys know, like for the last 80 years, unless you were an accredited investor, meaning you have essentially $1 million in the bank, not including your house, you couldn't invest in a startup. It was absolutely not allowed. So this is revolutionary, democratizing law that allows, you know, you to be getting the same shares that a venture capitalist would be getting. And so if we can actually get to our ultimate goal, and if you go to legionm.com, you'll see our symbol is an M with a bar over it. That's actually the Roman numeral for 1 million. So if we could get to 1 million people, I think on average we're averaging between $400 and $500 an investment. So that would represent $400 to $500 million to make movies. But much more important, it's 1 million people who are emotionally and financially invested. So as Jeff said, that first weekend, we all know that the trajectory that a film or television takes is based on how it does that first weekend. So if we can all be behind it at the beginning, we could be one of the most successful entertainment companies in the world.
So, and I think you kind of just explained it, but what would you say to someone who says, well, how does this differ from Kickstarter?
Well, it's a great question. And it's really like Kickstarter turned up to 11 is what I would say. Because it's when you back a project on Kickstarter, you're not investing in it. You are effectively, legally donating to the project in exchange for a pre-sale, a t-shirt, a perk, you know, your name in the credits, whatever reward level you're buying into. When you invest in Legion M, you are literally buying stock in the company, which means that if we can achieve this goal of having 1 million shareholders, becoming one of the most influential companies in Hollywood, you literally will own a piece of the company. It's kind of like if you could go back in time and invest in Disney back when it was just Walt and Roy and they were getting off the ground. So it's from a, like from an investment standpoint, you're investing in a startup company, it's a total swing for the fences. You know, you can look at successes like, you know, the guy who invested in Facebook and had a 3,000x return on investment, or the early people that got into Tesla or Uber.
Or Microsoft.
Exactly. And so that's the upside, you know. But we're also very upfront with people. We tell you, look, we're a startup company. The most likely scenario is you're going to lose all your money. because most startup companies fail. And that's just a fact of life that we all have to acknowledge. But those that succeed can go on and change the world. And that's really what Legion M is about. So it's the sort of thing that you can join Legion M for free and be a part of the movement and a part of the community. If you believe in this idea of an entertainment company owned by fans, it's 100% free. You get invited to all of our activities, and we do lounges at Sundance and stuff at Comic-Con, and, you know, premiere tickets for Jay and Silent Bob. And, you know, we had set visits for some of our films that we raffle off. There's a lot of stuff that you can get just to be a part of the movement in the community. And then if you want to invest, like some people, you know, if they're not interested in investing, like they're, you know, and that's fine. Right. You're welcome to be a free member for life. But if you want to, if you believe in this vision and you want to actually own a piece of it as opposed to just being a part of it, then you, for as little as $100, you can buy some shares and, you know, join us as we take this swing for the fences and try and shape the future of Hollywood.
I mean, it really started off as a grand experiment. We didn't know necessarily how people were going to react. And, you know, when they started, people started buying shares, they also found each other all around the country. And we knew something was up when we would see people with tattoos of our logo. And we hadn't even gotten the copyright on them yet. When we had, when we found out that every single license plate in every state, someone got Legion M. I mean, we realized it was the superpower is the community. And I can't tell you how exciting it is for people to be able to say, you know, I helped Jay and Silent Bob Reboot get made because they love Kevin Smith. They love what he's doing and they feel a part of it. Or for our cult movie, Mandy. I mean, there were people who don't like horror films. They don't like that. And right. yet they were still buying tickets and giving them to friends who did because they wanted to support the company, see the stock price raise. And I'm, you know, as somebody who has worked in the entertainment industry for more than 25 years, you know, when I first started speaking with Jeff about this, I was like, I don't know whether this will work. And
right.
then it just started working. And right now, I can't tell you how exciting it is for somebody who's been entrenched in the industry to see something new, to finally see another kind of business model. Because the studios, you know, they've been around for a very long time. The way that they try to get people to go to see things is to throw money at them. And we're in a very segmented period. Everybody has their own interests. They have their own thing that they like. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very difficult to really aim and get them. And I feel like we've kind of figured out how to do this by getting all these people with different likes and interests to combine together in order to, one, talk about the stuff that they want to see. Because that's very important. Studios, you know, they make their best guess of what
the chart says.
What the chart says, and then they make the stuff. What we're saying is, why not just go straight to the consumer? Why not have them involved in the process of finding this material so we know what it is? You should talk about that, because it's been, I mean, look at that. You have to talk about that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like David said, like, fundamentally, it's about the community. And when we look at the business, we look at, how can having a legion of fans give us advantages in the industry? And one obvious way is what I talked about earlier about this idea that when the film comes out, we've got people that are going to come see it, and you can generate that sort of grassroots buzz that a studio would kill for, but frankly, money can't buy.
Right.
But there's a lot of other ways, too. Like, you know, when it comes to finding content, you know, we've got a legion of scouts and, you know, that are telling us what they want to see. The best example is I'm wearing this pin, Film Scout. We have a Film Scout platform that we used this last year at Sundance Film Festival. And if you're, are you guys familiar with Sundance Film Festival?
Yep.
And, you know, in addition to being a festival that people go to watch films as fans, it's also a market where distributors buy films. And so There were 119 films that were on, you know, that were either premiering or playing, you know, at Sundance that we were, you know, like looking at as a distributor, like these would be interesting. And if you think about it, it's a really kind of fundamentally hard, difficult challenge in that there's 119 films. Most of them are brand new. So there's no trailers even for most of them. You know, there's no, nobody's actually seen it, you know. So all there is like rumor about like, oh, I've heard this movie's really great. How did you hear that? Nobody's seen it. How, you know, and so what we did is, you know, we're a very small team, like most entertainment companies.
Two development people. I'm one of them. I would have been forced to literally sleep, breathe, drink film.
But even if you do that, you can see 8, 10 films. Like, how do you decide what you're going to see, right? And at the end of the day, why is David's opinion any better than my opinion or your opinion?
I actually have an answer to that.
That's a whole other podcast. But anyway, so the point is we created a game that allowed all of our legion to check out these films. And we aggregated all the information that was available. So you could read about the synopsis. You could see who was in it, what they wrote before, you know, what all that sort of stuff. And from that, you could say, okay, these are the films that I'm interested in. And it was set up as a game so that you could come in for 10 minutes if you want to and evaluate a handful of movies, or you could spend a few hours and evaluate all of them. But at the end of it, we had thousands of people participate that cast over 40,000 votes. So that when we went to Sundance, we had a watch list of, okay, these are the films that people are interested in. And it's not David's or my opinion. This is thousands of people weighing in with their opinion. So then when we get there, you know, we host a lounge on Main Street, you know, so our members and investors can come. You got to get yourself to Sundance, of course. We can't pay for that, but you're welcome to come hang out. And when we were there with Mandy 2 years ago, Nicolas Cage came by and he brought Vince Neil, the front man of Motley Crue, as his plus one when we did the premiere party for Mandy with Elijah Wood. And, you know, like you know, Leonard Maltin is there interviewing all the celebrities on their press junkets. It's like, it's an amazing thing just to go. But while you're there for Legion M, you also get a Film Scout pin and you go see these movies and you file your scouting reports. And that's what allows us to confirm that, okay, this is what people were interested in. And then when we saw the movie, like, this is a good movie. Like, this is worth watching. That was the data that we used. We partnered with a company called Screen Media that's a distributor, and we bought the rights to Memory, The Origin of Alien, which is a documentary about the making of the film Alien.
I did go to see it first.
and the impact that it had on pop culture. But the point is, that wasn't a decision that we made unilaterally. It was everybody from the Legion weighing in, you know, lending their voice and also giving us data that we think allows us to make better decisions. And so when this film comes out, it comes out tomorrow, this is the first time that fans have ever united to find a movie at Sundance. The film, the money from our investors is what we use to purchase the North American distribution rights. So this is literally a film that was found and is now owned by fans in partnership with Screen Media.
And so we are now a distribution company as well as being a production company.
So, okay, and I definitely can see the road of how you got to that. What about the Jay and Silent Bob reboot? How did you guys get involved with them?
Well, sure. So, with regard to Jay and Silent Bob and Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, we had gotten to know Kevin quite well because we were very involved with the handprint ceremony for Stan Lee before he passed away and the tribute. And Kevin was the MC for both of those events. I mean, look, if there was a king of pop culture, it was Stan Lee. And if there was a prince, it was Kevin.
Yeah.
And we actually did an in-depth, a virtual reality interview with Stan. It hasn't come out yet. And we asked Stan, who would you want to interview you? And it was Kevin. Of course it was Kevin.
Right.
And once we did that, we started having a good relationship with him. And we realized, look, we're a fan-owned company. Who would we want to align ourselves with but somebody who is not only talent, but he's a huge fan himself.
Right.
Yeah. It's Kevin. And so when we had heard about the fact that he was doing Jay and Silent Bob Reboot,
we love two things. One, it's Kevin. Two, you know, we've consciously tried to do new kinds of movies. So on the surface, it would seem, why would you want to do
a reboot?
But in fact,
right.
It's a parody of just that,
yes.
Of reboots, of remakes. So it was actually, on the stealth side, exactly what we wanted to do.
Right.
And we said, can we get involved? And that's how we got where we are.
Which is great, because it's worth noting, like, that movie was funded. You know, they didn't come to us because they needed money. They came, you know, they were willing to accept our investment because they thought that it was cool. Yeah, like, wouldn't that be amazing to have, you know, 20,000 investors
right.
at H&M effectively invested in this film?
Specifically fans, which Kevin Smith...
Well, and I don't know if you guys saw when we first announced it, but Kevin and Jay did a really, really funny video. But he essentially said, look, you know, if you were an investor in Legion M, you're essentially an investor in my
yes.
film. And yep. welcome aboard to the fandom. And he really embraced everybody in our community, and a lot of his community got to know us.
Yeah.
So,
well, and we were able to work with them during the production. So, you know, when they were filming in New Orleans, we were able to get priority for Legion M members to be extras in the film.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
And we raffled off, like, a set visit, which was supposed to just be a set visit. You know, we picked some winners, and we flew them out, and they
right.
stayed in the same hotel as the crew, and they got to visit the set and, you know, and say hi to Kevin Smith. And then Kevin surprised them when they got there by giving them a walk-on role in uh-huh. the film. So, I mean, talk about a bucket list,
yeah.
you know.
These are like amaze things. People you just couldn't get an opportunity in this world
right.
to get that close. And, you know, I think people get jaded in New York and L.A. because the entertainment community is kind of around them.
Right.
But in the rest of the country, having
the
that
world.
Opportunity is just...
impossible.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
So we, that's why we love this community. It is so exciting. And, you know... hence, you know, we come to New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con and so forth.
I have to ask, the interview, the VR interview, Kevin Smith talked about it on one of his podcasts. Is this the one where the technology to project it doesn't exist yet?
Yeah, so we recorded it. It's funny because we recorded it was almost, it's not quite 3 years ago. And
okay.
so a lot of the technology... has moved on, right? I mean, technology, VR technology, recording technology is advancing at such a rate.
Right.
So the technology was state of the art then. It's probably old now.
Right.
Obviously, Stan's no longer with us,
right.
you know, or Joni, his wife. We had both of them.
Yeah.
You know,
the last time Joni was interviewed.
Yes.
And we have, so they were about to celebrate their, was it 75th or 70th? 70th wedding anniversary, and we have both of them describing the day that they met and fell in love.
Whoa.
Like, it was so poignant that Kevin Smith had to stop. He was, you know, we were live, mm-hmm. and he had to stop to compose himself before he could ask a question.
Is that also the interview where she stopped him and is like, everyone always asks him about
yeah.
Fantastic Four and Spider-Man Bob, but he's a writer, he's a poet, no one asks him about his poetry.
That's exactly yeah.
Oh wow,
that was exactly, it was so moving. Anyway, but to get back to your question,
yes.
when we recorded it, we kind of like, we knew that the technology was changing, and you know, but we knew also that this was a unique moment in time, right? The way we
right.
look at it is that VR is just starting its arc, and it's still getting off the ground, and you know, it hasn't taken off yet, but there's, I don't think anybody who's used it doubts that, no, this is the future. There's a lot
right.
of people think that VR is going to be to television what TV was to radio.
Hmm.
And it's just a matter of time. It's
right.
a matter for the cost to come down and the form factor to work. But we also knew that, you know, Stan was nearing the end of his arc, and there would never be another opportunity. Like, what would it be worth to be able to go back and spend an hour with William Shakespeare or something like that, or to
sit,
you know,
at the table with him, you know, to be that close.
And so
right.
when we recorded it, we did it, first of all, like David mentioned, very close. When you put on the goggles, you know, I'm the viewer, you're Stan and you're Kevin, right? It's literally, we're sitting across a barroom table from each other is the way to think of it. So it's very intimate. And we captured it in this, like, excruciatingly high resolution.
2 8K.
That is, yeah, it was dual 8K cameras.
Wow.
Capturing a field of view, which I think was 105 degrees. So to give you perspective, you know, it is about, I think, 20 times bigger in resolution, in pixels, mm-hmm. than what you could display on an IMAX screen today. And
right.
we did that specifically because we knew that the VR technology is going to evolve. And at some point, you'll be able to slip it on, and it will be indistinguishable from real life. And when that day comes, we have that resolution. It's literally at the threshold of what the human eye is capable of perceiving, that point at which adding more pixels doesn't make a difference because we as human beings cannot perceive it, you know, until we get eye implants.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm sure is not far from
our cyber robot AI future.
Yep, Borg is our future. So what do you see, how do you see this growing? Because right now you're at the point where you're getting stuff out now. You've got this growing fan base, and I guess you've gamified how you're picking stuff and how you're navigating where the interest is for your entire consumer base at this point. So where do you see it going from here? Like, what's the future of this going to be?
That's a great question. And B, like, that's the billion-dollar question, right? I mean, that's what's so amazing.
Literally
about
billion dollars these
Nobody
days.
Knows how this is going to end. And, you know, David talked about, when we started off, it was just an idea. We had no idea if people were going to be interested. We had no idea if it would work. And it's definitely working, right? We've been in business for about 3 years. We did.
Isn't it doubled in size each year?
Yeah, we've done films with, you know, Anne Hathaway and Nicolas Cage with Mandy and David Tennant with Bad Samaritan and, you know, now Jay and Silent Bob. We've bought a documentary. Like, every step is us growing. You know, with a startup company, you start off with nothing. It was just a couple folks and, like, an idea. And everything you do is like a stepping stone to the next. And so, as David mentioned, fundamentally the number of investors is roughly doubling every year. So we've got exponential growth. And, you know, our goal, which is extremely ambitious, especially because this is something that nobody's ever done before, because it was never possible before these new laws went into effect. You know, but if we can continue at this pace, we believe that this can be one of the most influential companies in Hollywood. And, you know, we've gamified some things and we've tried some things. We're Paul and I, the two co-founders, come from Silicon Valley. So we have deep roots in the whole sort of Silicon Valley methodology,
right,
of failing fast and experimenting,
yep,
and trying stuff. And so a lot of our stuff has worked, some hasn't. But, you know, I would say that we're still in our infancy as far as learning how we can bring to bear this incredible superpower that we have. Because, I mean, if you think about it, the highest level, right, entertainment is a multi-trillion dollar global industry.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it is all fueled by the eyeballs and wallets of us and the people here, right?
Right.
We're the ones that pay the bills. And if any one of us is just a consumer, but when we unite, we have all the power in the industry. And I think that's what's so exciting about Legion M, is what can we do by uniting as fans to take control of this industry that we love and play a role in it.
One of the most exciting things, and I think will be a game changer with our company in particular going forward, is that right now, you know, we're about to enter what I think you can call the streaming wars.
Yeah. We're in that.
There is a desperate need for great content, you know, for Netflix to survive. You know, when they're fighting against Disney, they've got to get new great stuff. And because we have an advantage in knowing what our investors and our members want, that guides us in our development. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't make movies, you can't make TV series, you know, as a group, you know, art is not created by committing.
Right.
Yeah.
But with that said, I'm very, very confident. We have a slate of television
shows. We've been acquiring IP. I mean, that's another reason why we're at Comic-Con. You know, we've got 100,000 people to go out and tell us what's new.
Right.
Once one of those shows that we've been involved in from the very, very beginning hits, I think you're going to see a huge surge in the amount of people who want to get behind this, because they'll see the train is going and they want to get on it.
That's actually, though, you brought up an interesting point, and it's, I think, a really good question for people in your position. We're now in a world where every day you turn around and a new streaming platform is being announced. How do you pick which platforms you want to work with?
So I mentioned that Paul, my co-founder, and I come from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And
we're developers. We can understand.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Well, and that's a whole conversation in itself. Yeah. I mean, the whole Hollywood industry is set up on the waterfall development system.
Exactly.
And like,
what a weird monster combination of the two, because, you know, the development is all Hollywood.
So
and then you got
at, like, when we're talking about developing new properties, one of is like, well, how can you use an agile sort of development system? So, you know, we just released a project called Girl with No Name, and we started with a comic book. Because if you think about it, a comic book is like the first draft of a storyboard.
Right.
And so rather than going directly to storyboards and going, you know, which is the traditional studio way, right? You write the script, which is the spec. Everybody signs off on it. You know, all the big wigs weigh in and put their notes in. And then you go off and spend your $100 million, you know, doing the movie, executing what you've done
without talking to your audience.
A comic book, if you think about it, is a wonderful medium because it's exponentially cheaper to produce. It allows you to tell the story, get it out there, see if people like it. And so we explicitly use that comic book as a way to engage the audience. So part of what we're doing is we're putting it out there to get traction. We launched it on Kickstarter. We launched pre-sales on Kickstarter.
Right, right.
We set the threshold, the minimum amount at $6,000, because that's about what a comic book on average gets on Kickstarter.
We expected to get about 10.
You know, and again, keep in mind, this is not a known IP. This
right.
is a brand new IP. We had some amazing artists, you know, and that sort of stuff. But
an all-women creative team.
Anyway, we ended up with $135,000 worth of pre-sales.
Wow.
On this. And so that is a signal that now we can take to Hollywood to show them that there's momentum. But not only that, all the people that backed it, they get the early version of the comic book, and we are actively engaging them. Like what of these characters do you really like? You know, like, what resonated with it? What didn't? You know, this, the whole vision, it's an adventure set in the Old West, but it's intended to be very stylistic, like a la 300. You know, or Kingsman or something like that. So something very with a strong visual style. And what better medium to flesh that out than in a comic book?
It's like having a super focus group.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this was based on a screenplay that had won Slamdance. So there was a screenplay intact. But what we did is we said, let's take a piece of that story and put it into the medium of comic books. And now we're in the position where we're going to have this beautiful illustrated hardcover comic book that we can walk anywhere around town.
Right.
And we can say, by the way, we raised $135,000 as well, which shows to them, because on the studios, everybody wants an insurance policy.
Yes.
Nobody wants to take the step and say, I'm going to bet my career on this.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why we have so many reboots.
This is exactly it. So why not harness the power of the crowd and the hive mind to help us not only build a community around any particular story or IP, but get them involved in the actual development of it. We're going to be – some of the people who invested in that – who participated in the Kickstarter are going to actually get to talk with the director of this project.
Yeah, we set up Pinterest boards where people could put casting suggestions, right? And we set up a playlist on Spotify where people can add their suggestions for the soundtrack. Like, it's a totally different way of thinking about it. And again, it starts with the fact that we are a company owned by fans. But to get back to your original question, because I thought that was important about what platform do you choose?
Right.
So Paul and I, at our previous company, we were the first ones in 2003 to launch live television on a cell phone.
Flip phone.
Back in 2003, back in the Motorola Rays, like before that, like back when, remember when cameras on phones were like a novelty? And people were like, what are you ever going to put a camera on a phone for? That's just dumb. You know, and anyway, so we come from a background of like, you know, this disruptive sort of, you know, technological changes.
Right.
And won an Emmy for technological revolution, although everyone told them they were crazy. Who would ever want to watch television or a movie on their phone?
Yeah.
Stupidest idea ever.
Obviously.
And yet, I still want it to work with them.
Anyway, so the point is that the wonderful thing about today is that the technology is changing so rapidly, the business landscape is evolving so rapidly,
right.
That it creates tremendous opportunities for companies like us that are nimble and thoughtful and can adapt quickly, right? It creates real problems for the monoliths and the companies that can't change the direction of their tankers. But I think at the end of the day, if you look at it again at the highest level, the two endpoints of everything are the creators on one side and the fans, the consumers, on the other side. Mm-hmm. And so because our whole business is staked out on that fundamental principle, uniting the fans in order to enable and empower the creators. And I think what's powerful about that is that it doesn't matter what the platform is, right? You know, I don't have any better insight than you do as to whether Disney or Paramount or Warner Brothers is going to be able to make a dent in Netflix and how Hulu and Apple and all these companies that are spending billions of dollars to try and win this war. Like, I don't know who's going to be victorious, but I know at the end of the day, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
I'll just say whoever tells the best story.
Well, but what I will say is I guarantee at the end of the day, it's still going to be us paying the subscription fees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be the creators over here trying to create and wanting to create. And that's kind of the area that we're staking out. So we think that our business model is actually fundamentally set up for long-term success, no matter what happens.
So whoever wins that war, you'll be providing.
We're on their side.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll be on the side of some of the losers too, right? You know, I mean, that's just how it goes. But I think it's fascinating. I mean, it's a golden age for content because if you think about it, you know, again, from a highest level, generally what happens is the consumers are paying and the creators are creating and it's supply and demand, right? So it's the money from the fans. But right now, because of the fact that everybody is battling out for this, there's this additional source of money, which is the venture capitalists and the investors and the hedge funds and all the people that are willing to say, you know what, I don't care if my company makes money right now. I'm here to win this battle and to be the last man standing, because the last man standing is going to make a ton of money for the next 20 years.
Right.
So what that means for us is that there is even more money to finance. You know, it's like a golden age for creators because there's so much opportunity to create content. It, you know, we're being able to hear new voices that we would not be able to hear before. We're even see new things that we haven't been able to see before. And I think the wonderful thing is it's all gonna you know, work its way out. And as David said, it's gonna come down to who tells the best story and, you know, who does the best job of cultivating their ecosystem.
And who can maintain it, because, you know, sometimes there are great, you know, periods of time. I mean, Marvel has had a great run, but it's hard to maintain things.
Yeah.
Habituation sets in. And there are new voices, you know, that show Fleabag. I mean, unbelievable. There's some great stuff out there, new ways of telling stories. I think people are going to be surprised. You know, maybe Disney, but...
Yeah, you never know what happens, right?
Another really cool thing about what we're doing, I must say and must compliment Jeff and Paul about, is that, you know, in the course of doing, you know, exploring all these different stories, we're building up kind of an interesting business for merchandise, because what we found are people who are huge fans love to, you know, wave their flags.
Yep.
I mean, Girl with No Name, perfect example. We have merchandise, and there isn't even a movie, and people love it. For Mandy, so cult film, we're selling an actual, you know, scanned version of the
of the axe called the Beast that Nicolas Cage wields.
Right.
And it's showing up in cosplay. And, you know, this is, see, this gets to the core of fandom. I mean, right now I'm dressed up as Jim Hopper. You know, it's a way for me to continue to sort of see what's relevant in pop culture, to interact with people. But we're like selling t-shirts so people can go out and be the characters that they love.
Right.
It's an important element. Anyway, I can't tell you. I'm so excited about this company. It's just so much fun to work here.
So we normally sign off the podcast by saying, don't let your cape get caught in the door. So what? Now, it started off as a joke, but it's really come to mean over the years, don't let obstacles get in your way of achieving your goal. Right? So what are some obstacles you guys have overcome in your lives to achieve your goals?
Wow, that is a heady question. I like it. I mean, I think that the obstacle that I'll use is just kind of a little bit meta for Legion M, but it's back when we started our first company, Mobi TV. We were raising money. We were a small company. It was just a couple guys. We had this great idea, and we needed to raise some money, right? That's what startup companies do. And we went out to our friends and family, the people that knew us and the people right. that believed in us, and said, hey, would you like to own a piece of our company? And they did. And we raised, it wasn't a lot. You know, it was people writing $5,000 checks, you know, but because of the fact that they believed in us and our vision. And about 6 or 8 months later, we got our first round of real funding, which was like $6 million or something like that from a venture capitalist. And at that point, we found out that actually, you know, you can't go out to your friends and family and allow them to invest in your startup because it was against securities laws. And there were laws, and that's a whole podcast in and of itself, but designed to protect, you know, small independent investors from being scammed, you know, by carpetbaggers. These are literally laws that were written back in the 1930s.
Right.
And anyway, and so we had to return their money to those people. We paid them interest, and, you know, but it was devastating because eventually that company went on to raise hundreds of millions of dollars, win an Emmy Award, have offices around the world, and these people that took a chance on us at the very beginning weren't able to participate. And right. so that is a big part of the reason why Paul and I were so attuned to the Jobs Act. And when that law changed, it was literally the day that that law changed that we launched our company. 9 a.m. May 16th, 2016 was the day that Title IV of the Jobs Act went into effect. That was at 9 a.m. that morning we launched our crowdfunding round because of the fact that it now enables fans to be a part of this. And that's I think an example of, you know, my example of overcoming a challenge, and we'll see how it turns out. But like I said, it's amazing.
For me personally, well, you know, I think the first challenge that I remember was being so tall. I know a lot of people think, you know, being tall is like the easiest thing in the world. But when you're a little kid and you want to kind of fit in with everybody else, it's hard to be out in the front. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to figure out that that could be a wonderful thing. I mean, I think many times the things that are challenges are actually the things that propel us to greatness. And it's a question of kind of looking at whatever that challenge is. Because, you know, if life is all rosy and wonderful, you don't usually get too far because you're too busy just sort of hanging out, having fun.
You can't grow.
You can't grow. Mm-hmm. Growth requires challenge.
Right.
So I actually look for those places that are challenging. And I think, you know, as someone who's always looking for material, I'm looking for people who are trying to tell stories that are challenging, that are right. interesting. You know, I always say, you know, you want to put your character up in a tree and throw rocks at them and see what, and that's, that you find out character right. when times are rough. So that would be my answer would be, you know, there's a lot of things that challenge us, but look at them and you may find out that that may actually be the thing that gives you your shining star to follow.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. And then the question that we normally wrap up on is, how do you measure success?
How do I measure success?
Yes.
Really good stories to tell my family so that they may laugh either with me or at me. That's usually my stick, measuring stick for that.
I'll just say, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. I think that's
amen. Awesome.
Cool. And then, of course, where can people find Legion M and how can they invest?
Just go to legionm.com. Like I said earlier, you don't have to invest. We encourage people to join as a free member.
Kick the tires.
See what it's all about. We have a members-only Facebook group that you'll get invited to join, which is a great way to see other people and talk to it. And if you decide that you want to invest, you can only invest when we have a round open. Everything we do is regulated by the SEC, and so there's a lot of stuff that we have to do. We do have a round open now, round five, which will be closing in a few weeks. And so, but all the information is just at legionm.com. You can follow us on social, Legionm Official, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere.
All right.
Cool.
Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you guys for having us on the show.
All right. So thank you guys for listening. John, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No. Sounds like, yeah, go to the website, read up on it, and, take a look, because, again, it's really interesting. It's really cool that the fans get to pick what goes up, because in that case, you know that there's going to be guaranteed viewership out there. I think that's one of their selling points, too. But, again, you get to be an investor, and you get sometimes you even get to see the stuff before it comes out, because investors, they have pre-screenings.
Yeah. I mean, again, too, like, we met these guys. They were really cool. They weren't stuffed suits. They were laid back guys in the industry that love this stuff. They love comic books. They love aliens. They love Jay and Silent Bob. This is why they're doing it. And this is why they started this company, because they didn't want the stuffed shirts making the decisions and giving us a psychological thriller about the Joker that isn't a Joker movie.
Okay.
They want to give us movies we really want to watch. So again, check out all the links in the description of this episode. And if you're feeling generous, invest. You can become a non-paying member and just keep up on all the stuff they're doing and check it out. It's really cool. So on that note, as always, thanks for listening. And don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.